you.
On now. Vote to witness. The awesome crushing might
of the
U.A.G.S. Robinson.
Game of the kid.
Show. Stop
it! Welcome, my friends, to a show that usually never ends. This is Version 3-1 City of the UGS Robinson Show Falcon. I'm your host, UGS Robinson. With my able assistant. And that's Ms. Robinson. Reaper theme of the show. Get to it in a second right after Bob Riley is modern. Brings us in. It's almost like skin flowing all of nothing. Still available from Revelation Records. Honey and Beach, California. Our record song for the jump. I'm gonna be California with a shooting and death in a nightclub. One of your mayor will come out of town on a rail with an open up some standard restaurant. Had a fail in Central Florida and I mixed up for it, I know. And hit the ball with a hammer. Let's let Bob sing us in. Listen, listen well. Give me that alone, please. He's winning the ice to death.
I'm on my way back to
nowhere.
I took my time with a new
idea
to
real. I'm
taking a real good look at you.
Now I'm taking a real good look at your face.
I'm on my way back to Denver.
Don't you take back and
forth. Nothing.
All right, my friend, mine are flowing. All right, my friend, mine are flowing. Let me, Mr. RP, he likes a personal, invitation. Hold on. Let me get here. Yeah. Let me tell him that the show's on. Mr. RP, he gets his personal invitation. So he knows. All right. Oh, he's there. All right. So ignore the text I just sent. So yeah, we have an able assistant. Mom's at the hospital. Woke up at 2:20 in the 2:24 in the morning. Apparently tried to wake me up at 2:24 in the morning. She said, "Yeah, I tried to wake you up." And I go, "What happened?" I said, "What happened, kid? I told you to get a chair. This show will take forever. I'll go for 2 hours if you keep interrupting me. Sorry. Get a chair and hang out on the floor. Come on, bring it back in." Yeah, that's what it's going to be. And you know, yeah, 2:24, my heart was racing. I think I'm having been complaining about heart pains for the past couple of days, thinking I have a heart attack. I go, "Does it bother your arm?" Because it doesn't bother my arm. You know, but the symptoms are different for women. You know, come on. The symptoms are different for women. And so I said, "Hey, you know what you got to do? You got to go, yo, I got a class. I got 4 hours of teaching to do." I go, "That's not happening. It's not happening. Nobody wants you to drop dead at a pole studio. Go to the urgent care. Get it taken care of. EEG, EKG, whatever." You know? So, "Did you drink coffee after 6? "Well, coffee doesn't have anything." "Okay, let's let the doctors." So we're here. We're about to go on a play date with Abe. An ape named Abe.
Yeah.
Hey man, it was exciting about it, but we got to finish the show first. The Substack is out because you know there's a lot of stuff that happened this week. Some stuff I can't even talk about this week that involves very serious, massive, disturbing criminal activity that has affected me and mine to a certain degree. I'm not going to go into it right now. Somebody's family show. But we're not going to. Yeah, there won't be so many outre stories as there are usually, because I got the little pitches have a bigger ears, if you know what I mean. But we're not. And it was all overshadowed by May 8th at 2:30 p.m. in New York City. The grifter nonpareil, and that's my editorial opinion, Carlos Watson is facing the music. Someplace he never thought he would be. His defense, rather than throw himself on the, and this is, if you've read the Substack, you already know what I'm going to say, be patient. His defense, as it stands, is that he is being castigated. He is being subjugated. He is being singled out because he is a black man in America. Roland Martin said it best. he's pleading not guilty. Roland, he tried to have the charges dismissed on the grounds of racial bias, and the court just laughed at him. Roland Martin said it the best. He said it. What did he say? He goes, "Hey, you're gonna have to go outside if you make noise, kid. I gotta do the show. I'm just gonna keep talking until I get the show done, which means that we'll be sitting here all afternoon and we won't go to Abe's. Do you understand that? If I have to stop one more time to talk to you instead of talking to them, unless the house is on fire, we're just not going to Abe's. Okay? You got it? Do you understand me? Okay. You can play with stuff, bring stuff in here, and we can hang together, but I got to do the show.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he's Roland Martin calls him, trying to position himself as a John Shaft of entrepreneurs, which has got to be about the funniest friggin' thing ever. The John Shaft of black entrepreneurs. And he's making, of course, going to the Breakfast Club again. Now he's all over black media, where before he couldn't be bothered, right? There you go, IJ. He couldn't be bothered. So I know I said, look, it's not so much that I lie. I just say stuff that doesn't come true. I know I said with the last Ozzy piece of about 7 months ago that I wouldn't write about it again, mostly because I got deals in development, right? Tiger King people, these other people. I got things, you know, the things behind the scenes. What is it? What is it? That song I did, 100 Ways to Say Yes. I'm finding them all. So I don't want to queer the vibe on anything that's out there that's in development. But I told them at the time, and I tell them again, this story's got legs, and it gets stranger and stranger, up to and including, if you read the Substack, who he's got to defend him in this Justice Watchers thing. If you watch the video, look, this guy couldn't drive people to Ozzy Fest in significant numbers. It's New York. It's a hard city. You got a lot to compete against. You get people to show up in court to defend you when you're clearly. Oh, look, I'm not saying I didn't do those things. I'm just saying everybody does those things, and me being singled out for them is driven by racial animus. He's looking at the man in the mirror, trying to keep his ass out of Stony Lonesome, out of the goal, out of the Borstal. the Borstal, that's for the English. Yeah, it is. Yeah, the cycle. She beat up her wife or her girlfriend and then tried to run the wife and the girlfriend who's trying to flee with the 4-year-old baby that they have down with the BMW. And then when she gets arrested, says, "You can't arrest me. I'm a Superior Court judge." And then as they're arresting her, she's like, "Screw it all. Oh, you gotta let that white boy help you." Listen. Whoa. I gotta speak my piece. Moreover, I sat down with a calculator and did some math. Right? And if you want to know what's got to be in my bonnet, hey, Mr. Robinson, why are you so... Well, you don't think I had anything else to write about? Didn't I talk about the capital crime that touched my family this past week that I'm not talking about now, but I could have? No. What's got to be in my bonnet is a 19% salary cut that I had for like a year, right? Start from the beginning of COVID to when I was laid off. Oh, now the thumb comes up. There you go. I tried to get that to be done on if the shoes fit, it won't do it anymore, huh? On the Cinco de Mayo. So 19%. 19% for over a year. Well, my salary was 19%. He got $7 million in PPP money to get bounced back from COVID. He gave none of it. He was not supposed to lay people off or cut salaries. Made me sign some paper agreeing to this, the 19%. That's okay. The fact that I signed the paper to agree to the 19% doesn't mean anything when you weren't supposed to take the 19% in the first place. So, yes, I did. Sleeping state. That's exactly what I did. So I'm all over this thing. I'm not going to stop. And I know I said in the Twitter blast, and it's always Twitter to me. Forget about this X thing. In the Twitter blast, I was going to be there in court. Let me explain something to you. I had a woman that I dated in college, right? We were deeply, deeply in love. She invited me to her family's house and Thanksgiving. What did I say about Outre stories? I don't know about this one. She invited me to her family's house over Thanksgiving. And the father, a Swede, was a super nice, wanted to talk to me about Miles Davis and jazz and blues. Because naturally, I've got an inline on a lot of this stuff, you know. And I was solicitous. I dated girls in college before who had me over to the house. And I realized, okay, though we sleep together at my place or her place, when you're at the parents, you show a little respect, you sleep in the guest room. Now, I've had strange things happen when that happens. I've had parents leave open checkbooks on the nightstand table in a room where I was staying. I don't know. I had to deal with Muggable Mary in New York. So, these entrapment things, don't surprise me. Now, maybe that's where they wrote their checks. I, for the life of me, don't know where my checkbook is now. But it's not on the nightstand table in the guest room. But whatever. So I was solicitous, and I accepted that I was sleeping in the guest room. But before retiring to bed, she gave me a kiss. And in that moment, the father that went to sleep that night was not the father that woke up the next morning. It's a very different man the next morning. All right? And he was not as friendly. I left on vacation. She calls me crying. The father's threatening with pulling her tuition. I get back. She picks me up from the airport. We drive to the father. I confront the father. I confront the father. And he says, well, it's not racist culture. I go, well, you're Swedish and your wife's Estonian. Those are the separate cultures. He goes, well, that's wildly different. She's from Sweden. You're from God knows where. God knows where.
Mm, yeah.
So I think I'm winning this engagement. And then I have the horror movie moment of my life when I look over at her and I can see I'm a solo orator. It's just me now. So we get through this night, the misery, get back home. Within a day or two, she said, hey, you know, maybe we should have an open relationship. This is textbook cake and eat it too. And I was like, okay, you don't have to tell me twice. With as much dispatch as possible, I went and slept with her RA. That worked well for me. She was very upset by this. Didn't know how I could do this. I said, hey, you gave me my walking papers, whatever. You got to get out. Go on. Because I'm trying to do the show. When you can be quiet, come back in, okay? Just don't choke yourself on that pipe. So... This is not the upshot. The story doesn't end there. So open relationship with whatever. She ends up. I'll leave out the details. But she ends up deciding to marry this guy who's a fucking rube. A date rapist rube, but that's not gonna get into that. They get married and I make a big deal about it. I say, now this is not right away. This is 2 years now. I'm already out of college now. I said, you gonna invite me to the wedding? And she's like, yeah. And now everybody knows I RSVP that I'll be showing up. It's created all kinds of upset in the household. The father has notified some of his friends. They are prepared to do fisticuffs and to beat me up for coming to the wedding. The groom is completely okay with it. Though it should be said, she spent the night at my place the night before the wedding. Crazy time. You know, so the day of the wedding comes, and I know I'm not going. But I wanted to be present in my absence. And certainly I was. Everybody was on tenterhooks the entire day. It kind of ruined the whole ceremony. She gets in the limo to escape from the thing. And the first thing she says to her now husband, she says, I guess Eugene's not going to show. I'd like to say that was the last time I slept with her the night before the wedding. But you know that wasn't the case. Was I happy about that? No, I didn't feel like I succeeded until years later. She told me she wanted me to help her with her memoir. I agreed. And then she unveiled the fact that the husband had date raped her on their first date together, which was the last night that she and I spent together before she hit me with the open relationship thing. Moreover, she came home and she said, "Where I want to make some dinner, where are those carrots?" And she found the carrots in the garbage covered in poop. Her husband didn't have the money. He had lots of family money, but apparently he didn't have the wherewithal to get to a Doc Johnson's Love Products and buy an anal slip and slide. He had to use local produce up his butt, and that's why he was covered with poop in the garbage can. So as you can well imagine, the kid's out of the room. I tried very hard to help her get that book published. I started to publish her stuff at Ozzy, thinking that would wet the whistle of a publisher somewhere under the headline, My PhD in Crack, because later she, forget being a worldwide Nietzsche scholar and like an almost Ivy League professor philosophy, she also became a crack whore, which she wrote about several times. Sorry, I have digressed, but the point of the story was.
Hey, Showstomper fans. Thanks for checking out this teaser of the Eugene S. Robinson Showstomper. Please be sure to join us over at showstomperpodcast.substack.com to subscribe so you can enjoy the remainder of the show. Every show runs a little over an hour for free on the Showstomper YouTube channel every Sunday when it airs live. To catch the show after that, you will need to become a paid subscriber on Substack to help support Eugene's work and help us to keep bringing these shows to you week after week, year after year. Thank you so much for your support. See you over on Substack.